You don't have to be grateful right now. It might be hard to hold the energy if you're going through something like this, but just more so focusing on holding that energy of someday I'm going to look back on this with kinder eyes and with the attitude of like, this is the push I needed.
I had deja vu as you were saying
really?
That. Uh-huh.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode number 90.
Woo! 90, we did it.
We did it. Crazy. We made it.
90 episodes.
90.
You know what they say about 90.
It's the special number. I don't know. That
just nailed it.
It's the year we were conceived.
That's true.
1990.
Because I was born in the eighth month of 91. That's true. Speaking of birthdays, my birthday's coming up.
It's
wait,
almost
when
Sadie's
this episode
birthday.
Drops, it's on my birthday. I have a Monday birthday too.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, gorgeous, magical, perfect, brilliant Sadie. Happy birthday to you. Woo! 31!
Everyone go wish me a happy birthday.
Now. Go send Sadie all the love, all the magic, all the sparkles, all the confetti. Go out, do something fun in honor of Sadie today.
Yes. I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet.
Obviously. And we created Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, magic, and manifestation more relatable.
And fun.
We have a really fun episode today, something that we've been experiencing over the summer and we're excited to chat with you about because mm-hmm. in our community we see a lot of other babes talking about it too. But before we dive in, Juliet, what's new with you?
Oh my goodness. Well, I had my house. Oh, speaking of house, really quickly, I posted on the Goddess Hangs YouTube an in-depth house tour. So if you've ever wanted to know where I live, what that looks like, all my little knickknacks and tchotchkes, this is the video for you. It's a really fun video. It's a 20-minute experience, and it's called Goddess Vlogs, the first ever Goddess Vlog. We're going to have more.
I'll do my house tour at some point.
Sadie's is going to come up, and then let us know other things you want us to do. I'm getting some great feedback. People are really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So we could do other things. So yes, made a vlog. That was fun. Victor went out of town. He went to Disney World with some of his cousins for 6 days, and he said, do you want to come? And I said, absolutely not.
There was a funny, so, you know, I follow Victor on Instagram, and he's posting about his trip, which looks so fun, but there was one story he posted where he was like at Topgolf to wind down from a day at Universal Studios, and I was like, Juliet and I's worst nightmare, another social activity to
wind down.
I was like laughing. I almost sent it to you and being like, LOL, good thing you didn't go.
No, I knew that was the quickest no of my life.
Tap one thing a day, especially if it's an all day thing. I laughed.
So, you know, he winded down from a theme park with another high energy outing day after day after day. I got the updates daily of what he was up to. And then I got a call on the last day that said, I had to buy a suitcase for the amount of souvenirs that I bought. Oh my God. So he bought like a huge check under the plane suitcase, a nice suitcase. He bought 2 pairs of shorts, a coat, I think 12 t-shirts, 4 hats, underwear.
Were these all from the theme parks?
Some of it was theme park, and some of it was some like outlet shopping.
Okay, I was gonna say, it sounds like an outlet trip. Yeah, okay. All right, well,
jogger set. I mean, this man loves to shop. So I picked him up from the airport, and he rolled over, because he went with a duffel bag, and he came back with luggage. And it was very funny. So he had a great time. And while he was away, I had Irene sleep over twice. We did a wine and paint night.
Fine.
And then the next day, Vivian reached out and was like, do you want to do wine and paint? I was like, sure, I'll do that back to back. So a lot of painting. She and I watched the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Fine.
Which it is funny watching back as an adult because number one, it's precious. Number two, I would watch it again right now. Number three, the amount of noises that Hilary Duff makes as Lizzie McGuire, everything's like there's so many gasps. I didn't realize how many just her, the entire movie is her gasping. But
I don't even remember that. I need to watch it again.
Oh my, you'll be like, you could, it could be a drinking game.
Oh my gosh, maybe we'll do that after my birthday party.
Amazing. So we loved it. It was fun watching Lizzie McGuire support Lizzie McGuire on stage because Lizzie McGuire was nervous to sing, so Lizzie McGuire came out and helped her.
The storyline of the movie is iconic.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's so good. We watched that. I did a lot of working until 3 a.m. with Reba on because that's my nighttime vibe.
I love Reba.
Did we talk about this ever?
I feel like we have talked about it because it was trending for a while, the song that was like,
a single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops. That's such an odd lyric. It rhymes with nothing.
But that show is so good. It's so funny.
I know.
I love the, like, hot, dumb boyfriend.
Van?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Love him.
I know. And Barbara Jean.
Yes, Barbara Jean.
Barbara Jean. I wonder if that show ever really was rewarded in the way it deserved to be because it's hysterical.
So it's really good. And I just love Reba as an all-around human being.
If you have Hulu, watch Reba. It's so cozy. Nothing horrible happens.
Yeah,
it's very funny. If you have anxiety like us, you'll love it. No jump scares.
You love a predictable storyline.
You could watch it all out of order. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So I did that. What else did I do? Oh, I slept over at my parents' house one night. Can you tell I don't...
That's a sleepover.
Yeah, I don't love being left alone for long periods of time. So my sister turned 20. Happy birthday, Melanie.
Happy birthday, Melanie.
And we did a whole, like, Harry Styles One Direction dance party. I got her this dinosaur blanket where you wear the head. And so we were dancing around in that. And we watched a lot of Dance Moms, and we had a nice little sleepover, and that was that. We had In-N-Out Burger. And then the other thing that I'm just, I guess, dealing with, but not really, I mean, it's over, but I have to go to the dermatologist every, like, 6 months because, as she likes to say, I'm a ticking time bomb.
Oh.
Which is so comforting. Yeah, I've had to go every, I'm turning into Swiss cheese. I've had to have so many things cut off my body.
Oh.
So I had to have the doozy removed, like a big, as my mom told me growing up, a beauty mark.
Yes.
I didn't know people called them moles or freckles until I was maybe 15. I thought they were just beauty marks.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought, what a nice mother to tell me that, you know, not like, oh, there's a mole.
I love beauty. I think they are beauty marks. I have like one mole on my neck and I'm like, I'm never getting rid of it. Don't tell me that I have to because I love it.
I know.
I love moles and freckles.
I have enough for everyone in our community, I'll tell you what. But I had a little thing sliced off my arm and a little thing sliced off my leg. Actually, a big thing sliced off my leg. And so I can show you later. It's kind of gross looking.
Exciting.
And so I'm just healing from that little procedure. And I'm sure they'll test it and it'll come back just fine. And if it doesn't, they'll take care of it, whatever. And yeah, I was just excited to see you this week. What we will chat about after I ask Sadie what's new with her, it has to do with just life, like almost like switching up so quickly and my brain has been working nonstop and it's just this machine. Like I'm not sleeping because I'm thinking and planning and building so much. And I could absolutely relax a little bit more. But yeah, we'll get into that. But that's pretty much what's new with me. Victor went on a vacation. He brought back a whole new wardrobe. I had sleepovers, went to the skin doctor, and I've been working. What's new with you?
I have been a busy little bee this past week, like lots of stuff. So the first thing is that last Thursday, so a week ago, Craig got LASIK surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And him and I, so when Craig and I met, we like kind of bonded because we have such bad eyesight. For anyone that understands what it means, I have one eye is like -8 and the other eye is -7.5, which is like really, really bad. Like if I was sitting here and like I didn't know you were here and you sat down there, I'd be like, is that Juliet?
Really?
Like I'd be able to see that you had like brown hair, but I wouldn't be able to see the features of your face.
Oh my gosh.
So really, really bad eyesight. And since we were kids, both of us too, like I got glasses in first grade when I was like 7 or 8. So, so going into this surgery was a really big deal for him, and it was really, really emotional for him. Like, I mean, I don't know if he wants me to share this, but, or maybe I even shared last week because we were leading up to it when we recorded, but he, I mean, just crying and crying, just releasing a lot, because I just think that the eyesight thing is so connected to him being a small child when that all began, and he was just sort of revisiting like what he didn't want to see as a child and why he thinks like his eyes went bad.
Oh wow.
Because that can be a common like emotional connection. I don't know what I didn't want to see as a child. I had a lovely childhood, but anyways, I guess I had a lot of serious medical issues myself, so maybe it was more about myself, but anyways, so it was very emotional. So I take him, and there's like a coffee shop in the same lot where the eye clinic is, so you know I can't go in. And so he's so nervous. I'm like, you know, I'll be like right across the parking lot at this coffee shop. I'm here, like, I'll be sending you energy, whatever. So I have to leave. And it's a couple hours. And then I get the call from the clinic and they're like, hey, like, you can come back now. So I come back and they're like, oh, just give us a few minutes and we'll call you in. So I'm under the impression that when they call me in, I'm picking him up. Like, he's all done, right? No. They call me back and they're like, Sadie, you can come back now. And they're like, here, you can sit here. And I'm in front of this big window and Craig's laying on the table. And she's like, there up on the screen, you can watch everything. And feel free to take pictures and videos. Just make sure there's no flash. And I'm like, excuse me? What? So there's on the TV, it's a zoom up. I mean, as close as you can get to an eye. I'm watching. And I wish I hadn't watched it because I want to get LASIK someday. And now I know exactly what they fucking do. And it was horrifying.
They slice and dice.
Oh, it was really cool though. And I was glad I could be, he wasn't aware that I was behind the window and was so close to him during the procedure, but I'm glad I was. And I was sitting there and I kind of had, there people walking by were probably like, what is she doing? Cause I kind of had my hands directed towards him. Aww. And I was just like, cause I could see his hands clench. And I was like, just saying like, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, over and over. And I saw his like hands kind of relax and he did really good. But yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of videos on my phone because I thought he'd want to see, but he doesn't want to see it. He's like, I experienced it. I'm good. But they like pry your eye open and then they like, yeah, they do stuff. I won't describe it, but it was gnarly. And I was just like, it was one of those things I'm like, I don't want to be watching this, but I can't look away.
Right.
Like, it was fascinating. And wow, I mean, he was in there like 20 minutes and he was done. And then he got out, they had given him Xanax to relax. You have to be awake because you have to keep your eyes really still, but you know, they relax you. And so he's really out of it.
Eye hurt after?
So he started crying again and he couldn't stop crying. So I think the salt in his tears was making it hurt really bad.
Oh.
It's supposed to just be a little uncomfortable, but not like really bad pain, but it hurt so bad. I was like, you have to stop crying. He was just so emotional. I was like, I mean, I had to rock him to sleep. Like I got him home. You get home. They say like give him something, make him eat something, and then he takes the strong sleeping pill, and you sleep for like 20 hours. Then you wake up and you can see. So, I tried to feed him. He wouldn't eat. So I was like, all right, just take the sleeping pill. And then it was so funny because he's just like he can't stop wiggling around. He's just crying. He's just so emotional. You know, he's on this Xanax, so he's just like. I think that too, it being like a downer, just was like making him so emotional. He's freaking out and I'm just trying to like calm him. I'm like literally rocking him and then just it takes like 20-30 minutes, but then instantly it's just like his body goes limp and he's asleep from the sleeping pill.
He was your little baby.
So we got him I got him to sleep. It was quite the little job. I was like, I could be a mother. after that. I was like, wow, that was crazy. So I'm ready. but then, yeah, I mean, he woke up the next day and you can just see, and you're barely, you know, his eyes were a little uncomfortable. It's kind of like scratchy and dry feeling. And you have to be really careful not to touch your eyes. For the first week you're putting like eye drops in, and then for like 3 months you just try not to rub your eyes at all because your eyes are healing. But he can see, and he just wakes up and he's got better than 20/20 vision now.
Up close and far away. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just crazy. I can't
believe it. That is crazy.
And I inherited his glasses, so I have new glasses because I can see through them. Oh, my good. Glasses were like old. I hadn't updated them in a while. So I got a new pair of glasses out of it.
Abundance.
And he was like, babe, just give me a couple months and I'm going to buy you LASIK. And I was like, I'm going to need like a year after watching that. I can't. It was too freaky. Mm. I was like, thank you for offering.
Aww.
So that was really intense and really cool. And I'm really happy for him. I wrote some other notes. So I've been continuing to watch Selling Sunset. And I wanted to just have a brief moment that... I'm dressed really fun today, and I'm just channeling my inner
Christine
Quinn, because not at this point, well, I mean, I'm like heavily involved in all the drama, but at this point I'm just like watching for her outfits.
That's sort of what it becomes. It's like you could mute the show to avoid the yelling,
yeah,
but just like it look at that house, look at that outfit, yeah, look at the hair. Like, it's
just the way she'll show up to like a dinner party at somebody's house, but she looks like she's ready for like the red carpet at the Emmys or something. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's what my 31st year is gonna be all about.
Mm-hmm.
Go, I mean, we already like dress like really fun and out there. I'm like, I'm gonna do it even more now.
Good.
So I'm just having fun like watching that. I went to Cinespia, which is in the summer in LA. They host outdoor movies at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and it's really, really fun. And I've gone quite a few times, but this one was extra fun. So I guess once every summer they do like a slumber party, and it's a double feature. So there's two movies, and it, you know, it's over at like 2 a.m. So you're there for a long time. You don't like literally sleep over, but you're there long enough. And it was so fun. It was actually like two of my top movies. So it was Death Becomes Her with Meryl Streep and what's her name? Goldie Hawn?
I don't know anything about this movie.
Oh my gosh, we have to watch this movie. It's so good. I don't want to ruin anything, but this movie also, iconic outfits, the fashion, it's really ridiculous. It's and Bruce Willis.
Okay.
It's so cheesy and ridiculous. The joke, it's so well written. Like, the jokes are so funny. It's so good. And it's such a ridiculous movie. And then the second movie was Jennifer's Body with Megan Fox, which is like her like most famous like horror movie, and it's just like the epitome. It's peak early 2000s. It's so, so good. One of my favorite horror movies. And so there's like an hour and a half between the movies, which I thought was a little ridiculous. I was like, a full length of a movie pretty much.
What were you supposed to do in between?
So they had like a dance party. So you could go to there's a DJ in between. You could like go to this one area. And then they also have these really elaborate photo booths set up. So they had one that was like inspired by Jennifer's Body, and then one that was inspired. We didn't end up doing the photo booths. We just like chatted and hung out, the group I was with, but this was really funny. So we decided to get a coffee. I was like, I'm being crazy. A coffee at 11 p.m. but you needed it to get to through the second movie. I go to bed at 11. That's late for me. So we like got a coffee. And while we're waiting, because there's a long, long line, we're just talking. And I asked, I was like, so does anyone know if there's any like spooky stories about the cemetery? Like, you know, when people come to these movies and stuff, are there any stories of things that people see or have experienced? And so my friend Claire's like, oh yeah, so supposedly there's like three well-known like ghosts in this cemetery.
Ooh.
And the one that we talked about the most was the lady in black. And she was like, so I don't have the like absolute correct story about her, because she wasn't exactly sure, but something along the lines of This woman has a very sad story. She's wearing black because she's grieving her husband, and she was left as a widow. But sadly, she also finds out around the time of his death that he had been cheating on her. So it's like this double grief that she's going through. And I don't know if maybe she passes away shortly after him or what happens, but supposedly she roams the cemetery in this black dress. And so we're talking about this, and then we're like, let's go. We still had like 45 minutes or something. So we're like, we're here. Like, let's go for like a spooky cemetery walk. So we like kind of go off the grounds where they have the movie area, and there's lots of people wandering around, and we're in a group. So it wasn't like scary or anything. But we walk up to this, I think it was probably like a mausoleum. It's this big building in the cemetery completely surrounded by water, and you go over this little bridge to get it, and it's all lit up. It's really beautiful. That cemetery is really beautiful. If you're ever in LA, like, go visit this cemetery as one of your stops. Or for those of you that live here, I would definitely recommend going to visit. I want to go back. We should do a vlog there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's some really interesting graves there. But anyways, so we were dying laughing because Claire had just told us this story about the lady in black, and then there's this woman in a long black dress. Now this was definitely not a ghost. It was definitely an alive person.
It was just Rita minding her own business.
However, she's where on this little like kind of island thing in front of this huge beautiful building all lit up, and she's in this long black dress, and this woman is walking. One step, 2 feet together. One step, 2 feet together. Like a ghost would. Like, you know, like just walking so weird. Just like step together. And like swooping along. Just being so weird. Huh. And so one of them was like, oh my God, it's the lady in black. And I was like, there's no denying that's a ghost. Look at that gait. Like the way she's walking. Like there's no way. And then we were just kind of like watching this woman. Because we're like, what is she doing? I think she was a witch. And I think she was doing something. Mm-hmm. Because then she walked to the edge where the water was. And she had her like arms out. And was like standing like this for a while. In front of the water, and then she walked around another spot.
She was up to something.
She was being super spooky, and we had a good laugh that we had just talked about the lady in black, and then like the description of a lady, you know, the ghost was like creepily, like slowly, like floating along. It was so funny. We didn't actually see any ghosts, sadly. I said I was open to it as long as they weren't scary or like picking on us, but nothing happened. But that night was really fun. And then yesterday I had an adventurous day. Craig's family was visiting from Mexico, and it was really fun to hang out with them. And what I really enjoyed was, so like they don't speak that much English but can understand it pretty good. And then like Craig and I both like can't really speak Spanish but can understand it pretty well. So we were sort of like, like they would speak in Spanish and then we would speak back to them in English, and we were both trying to like practice our Spanish and English with each other, and like we communicated really well, and it was really fun, and I was like, I still got it, I can still understand. But it was really, really fun to hang out with them, and we like took them on a drive of like the beautiful cliffs by the neighborhood where we live, and then we took them to Sugarfish, which is like,
oh yum,
a really, really good sushi spot. It was so good. We were gonna go to Nobu. I've never been there.
Me neither.
But they didn't have any reservations left. Sugarfish was amazing. And then they wanted to see Rodeo Drive. So we went there. And I had never walked down Rodeo Drive. I always wanted to, but I never did. So I took it as a fun, like, manifesting activity. Mm-hmm. And we walked into some of the stores. And, you know, like, I was really kind of like shy at first. I was like, Sadie, like, you're not allowed to touch anything and don't ask about stuff. But then I was like, no, like, act like you're shopping. Like, it's okay. So like at Gucci, I was like picking out some of the shoes and looking, and I asked how much a bag was, and like acted like $3,000 for a handbag was like totally cool.
No big deal.
I was like, oh, okay. I really love that color, but I don't know if I need like that bright of a color in my closet. You know, like I was like kind of just pretending like I was like a real shopper. And it was really fun. And I thought this could be a fun activity for us sometime. Hmm. Outside of Tiffany's, they made a like breakfast at Tiffany's restaurant. There's a little restaurant outside of it now. Oh, so we should go get brunch there sometime. Yes. Like dress up really cute and do that. I thought that would be fun.
I would love to do that.
And we can do a little manifesting activity doing the same thing, like going and shopping at all of the stores and stuff. Oh my God,
fun.
So it'd be fun to like get a mimosa and brunch and do that. So that was really fun. And then I went to my first ever professional baseball game.
Go Dodgers!
And first ever Dodger game. And it was really funny because I was like, man, like, I can't believe my first, like, professional baseball game isn't the Brewers. You know, like, I grew up in Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Brewers are our team. And, like, I even have, like, a family member that, like, is higher up that works at the stadium. And my family's gone a bunch. And I just always was at, like, dance camp or something and never ended up going. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like feeling something about that a little bit. I was like, oh, you know, like, but you know, I live in LA now. Like, Dodgers is cool. I'm there for like a good 30 minutes. We're just getting settled. I'm like, cool, I'm at a baseball game. And then I was like, I looked at the scoreboard and it had the two teams or whatever. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, Craig, who are we playing? And he like looked and he looked at me. He was like, we're playing the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh!
So my first ever professional baseball game was in fact the Milwaukee Brewers, but in LA, just like I'm a Wisconsin girl in LA.
How full circle.
And I was cheering for the Brewers, but they lost. But I was like, well, I live in LA, so it's still cool. Dodgers won. Go Dodgers. That's fine. I was cheering for the Brewers though, but it was really fun. It was, there's a few funny things. So one, I thought this was going to be one of those things where I did it once and never needed to do it again. Mm. But I would go again. It was really fun.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
I would go to, I would bring a seat cushion.
Mm.
A lot of sitting.
Yeah. The seats weren't too bad, but they're not comfortable. but it was really funny. Like every time, like, something, a big play happened and the crowd went wild, they weren't standing up because something exciting happened. It just so happened people in front of us were like shuffling around and we missed a home run. We missed two crazy plays. I mean, they like kind of replay it on the screen, but we were just like, what the hell is going on? All these people kept having to go to the bathroom and we're shuffling around so much. So that was kind of funny. We missed all the good stuff. There was people behind us just like screaming and screaming, and people were like, we were by the dugout for the mm-hmm. Brewers, because we were on the visitor side, and people were like booing when the players came out. And I was like, is that really a thing? Do people really boo, or we were just in a shitty section?
I don't know.
It was pissing me off. And not because I was from Wisconsin. I would have been pissed if it was any team. I was just like, shut the fuck up.
This is bad sportsmanship, pal.
I was taught that. I thought I was taught that. I don't know. I was in a sports family and it was like really, really important to not have bad sportsmanship. And I just couldn't believe it. And I did not like the vibe. So I was like, whenever people were booing, I would just close my eyes and be like, let it deflect off of me. I could feel the energy and I hated it. And then, okay, there was one more thing that this is my favorite part of the game, which was in between innings, they would do like a different thing for like close-ups or whatever. Like one of them was like if you're dancing or whatever. And they had one where they played it was kind of a techno version, but like they played like the Lion King music when he goes like this. And then they were finding everyone with babies in the crowd. So they would go like this and lift them up. And it was like, no one, I was like, that's why I want to go back. I want to go back for the baby Lion King inning. It was so cute. Like everyone would be like, notice they were on and they'd be like, ah, and like lift their babies up and the babies are just like chilling. They don't know what's going on.
Were there fireworks? Because there's a certain night of the week after the game they do fireworks.
There was not fireworks.
Okay, we'll go. I'll come with on a firework night.
Yeah.
I love fireworks.
It was really fun. I had a hot dog.
A Dodger dog.
We actually didn't have a Dodger dog.
Oh,
we
a hot dog.
A kosher ones.
A kosher hot dog.
They were out and the line was really long. So we just went and got a different one. Mm. I had a soda. I had a Coca-Cola.
A soda pop.
I don't drink too much soda. So that was a treat. I was going to get a beer, but it was $15. And I was like, I can get beer at home. I was like, I don't want it that much. And it's only the giant can. I was like, I want like one small glass, please. But anyway, so I loved the Dodger game. It was super fun. And yeah, that's everything that's new with me. My birthday party is this weekend. I'm really excited.
Tell the theme.
It's Disco Cowgirl.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. So we're dressing, all my decorations are like pink and sparkly and cowgirly. I have a really cute outfit planned. I'm making everyone else dress like cowgirls.
Of course.
As you do. And we're going to have karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have drinking games with, I got flip cup and beer pong and stuff. And then I'm getting like veggie dogs and snacks and stuff to grill out. And it's going to be really fun. And I'm really excited.
I'm very excited. That's in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I want to circle back on a forever, what is it? Hollywood Forever Cemetery story.
Yeah.
Number one is I am 96% sure that I am somehow distantly related to the people who opened it.
Oh, wow.
Because my grandma is like is a cousin. And I remember before she died, they met up and there was something. So I'll look into that. And then the other thing is when I was 15, I got concert tickets there because they were doing Bon Iver at Sunrise and you could get there.
Sunrise.
Mm-hmm, and you would get there at like 10 p.m. and you would sleep over, and then as the sun rose they would perform. Now my mother, being a good mother, said, "You are not sleeping over with a boy at a cemetery." She said, "Absolutely not." And I was like, "Oh, Mom, why don't you trust me? Do you think I would let my teenage child?" I mean, I just probably wouldn't. So anyways, thank you, Mom, for protecting me. But so we went at, I got picked up at 5 a.m. So I slept at home. I got picked up and we went to the concert portion.
Yeah.
And everybody was so chill. We just like walked right up to the front and it was foggy and they played and it was very magical.
Wow.
But I don't know if they do those over. I think they want to get people home by a certain time now.
Yeah.
This was 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. This one, you know, we all left at 2 a.m. But
God bless my mother. She's like, "Absolutely not."
I would have, like, if my mom said no to sleeping over, I would have been like, "Okay, I'm not going at all. I'm just going to go to a sleepover at my friend's house." And then we would have gone anyways. I would have lied. I always found a way to do what I want. I was such a bitch when I was a teenager.
My mom just knew anything. It wasn't even worth trying to make up a story with her. Like, she knew. So.
What was funny is my mom totally knew that I was always sneaking out of the house. My house is the perfect be a teenager and sneak out, because you've been in my house. Mm-hmm. So it's like a bi-level. So the basement is like only like half in the ground and half above ground, and my bedroom is in the basement, and there's also a door to leave the house in the basement.
Oh.
So out of the laundry room. So I would just leave out of that door. You know, I would do it like really quietly because my parents' bedroom was, but I didn't have to go upstairs and go out, you know, a door. Like, I could just leave. I didn't have to go out a window or anything. It was so easy. But like, me and my mom were like so on top of it, both of us on both ends, because she would put like tape on the door, to like clear tape to see, like she thought I wouldn't see it and like she'd be able to tell if it got lifted. But I would, when I got home, I would sit there and measure the perfect tape and I would replace it, or I would like push it back down until you could see it had been a couple times, because you know the point was to be able to see that it was loosely on there, and I would press it down and then be like, "No, it doesn't look good anymore." So I'd like perfectly replace it.
Oh my gosh.
And like, you know, so she was so aware that I was sneaking out, and I was so aware that she was aware, and like we were both just battling constantly on her trying to prove it.
So my house growing up had, you know, as a teenager, my room had a door to the outdoors.
Yeah.
But we had an alarm system. Oh. And my parents stayed up later than me, and they still do. Like, they don't go to bed till like 3:30 in the morning. So they would have heard a beep if I had turned the alarm off. They would have immediately known something. It just wasn't even worth it. And all the windows had the alarms. I couldn't like go out a window. Yeah. Also, I don't know. I was a home. There's nowhere I wanted to go. I was like, I'll see everybody tomorrow.
I had to be at every party. I was such a I would have such bad FOMO all the time. Now I like just want to stay home all the time. Now I'm like, I did something last week. I don't think I could do something again. But I back in the day, I was a wild child. My dad, I think it was at this cabin trip, or maybe it was the last time I was home, but my dad was like, where did you go when you snuck out all the time? And in my 20s, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I never snuck out. I was like, I don't know. Haley would pick me up and we'd go find some trouble to get into. And he's like, eh, whatever.
Haley was always picking me up. You know, now that I see the town of... that I've seen the town of Marshfield, I don't think I'd be so nervous if my kid was like in and out.
Yeah, I mean, we were going to parties with college boys at
then. Never mind.
We were 16. I mean, they shouldn't have been hanging out with us, and we were getting into trouble for sure, but I had a good time. No regrets.
I stayed in and did my homework and was stressed out. Some regrets.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Well, we have some things on our to-do list. We have to go to the cemetery together. We have mm-hmm. to go to breakfast at Tiffany's together.
Yeah.
And we get to have a fun time at the party this weekend.
So excited.
All right. Well, now that we're all caught up, I want to give a special shout out to somebody who left a YouTube comment asking us to be more serious and professional. Thank you for the feedback. We will not be taking it.
I don't know if you really get the vibe, man.
This is not NPR.
I like how it said, I know you're having fun, but...
I came here for a discussion about the Mandela effect. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry you were let down. I don't know what to say. So yeah, we are... I hate to break it to you. This is not... a serious and it is professional.
It is professional.
But it's not that serious.
No.
It's seriously magical. It's seriously fun.
Yeah.
Seriously enlightening at times.
Professional is whatever you want it to be.
If you get paid to do something, you're a professional.
That's true.
Even a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, shout out to that person.
Shout out. We love you.
Thank you for the engagement, the view, and...
We kindly say no,
and we hope you find the serious professional podcast you are seeking. They are out there for sure.
I love that one. And then back in the day when we had a comment that was like, what did it say? It was like, I like you guys, but you just put me to sleep. We're like, okay, I don't know what you want us to do with that. We're pretty lively. I don't think either of us talk monotone, but that one makes me laugh. Like, I just always fall asleep when I listen. Like, oh, okay.
Great. 5 stars. Speaking of which, if you'd like to support our podcast, you can go to Apple Podcasts, leave a review. We would love a 5-star review, but mm-hmm. do whatever you want. If you take a screenshot of it before you click submit and you email us that screenshot, goddesshangs@gmail.com, we will send you an exclusive meditation. It's totally free. You can't get it anywhere else, mm-hmm. and you're going to love it. And we've gotten tons of great feedback on it. And the reviews, we're so close to 100 reviews.
We are really close.
I think we're like 7 away. So help us. Support us. We thank you. This podcast is the light of our lives, as are you. And we would really appreciate a review. So thank you.
Thank you in advance.
All right, now that we've shouted out our constructive feedback that we will not be taking, let's move into, let's talk about what we're here to talk about this mm-hmm. week, which I don't know exactly how I want to word it, or what did I say? How did I text it to you? Tell me what I said.
Text messages. Hopefully we didn't text a ton after that. Oh, no, it's right here. Growing pains. That was the word that I liked.
Oh my gosh. Can I read the actual text? Because I was
trying to read it too?
Yeah, read the actual voice text.
What about something around authenticity road? Road. Oh my God. It's not picking up the word letting go of old versions of ourselves. Change. Rising up. Something about when we step into truer and truer versions of ourselves. Some people may fall off or something may not feel right anymore. Growing pains? Question mark.
The word I was trying to say was growth, and it kept saying road.
Road.
When
road.
I'm on the road.
It spelled it road, like abbreviated, and then road spelled out, and then oh my God spelled out. It just feels more dramatic. Oh my God. I love voice texting.
You know, the phone can recognize my face and send money to anywhere in the world. But if I say the word growth, it's like, did you mean road?
Road. Road?
Oh Oh my God. I want to talk about growing pains. I want to talk about the stuff that comes up and the stuff that we feel as we grow, as we change, as we elevate, as we up-level. Mm-hmm. And that it's called growing pains for a reason.
Yeah.
So take it away.
Oh, okay. I made a few bullet points of things to touch on, but we wanted to talk about this because it's something that we're experiencing right now. Mm-hmm. So to give a little background, because you're our best friends and we love to keep it real around here. So this summer has been a season for us that's been a little bit slow. You know, we were growing by a lot. You know, our income was growing. Mm-hmm. We were accomplishing big new things. And then this summer, it's just been slower and we've hit a bit of a plateau and maybe even a dip at times. And, you know, at first we were like a little thrown off. We're like getting a little discouraged. But then we really saw this as like, oh, we hit sort of like a ceiling for us. And it's time to like, you know, shatter that glass ceiling and move mm-hmm. up to the next level. So it's just been an interesting time where we're reevaluating, you know, the way our business is set up, the systems, the way we approach our business, the energy we exist within our business, the energy with us, because we've been shifting and combining everything totally. So even like our relationship is changing too in really mm-hmm. cool ways. So with that, it comes with a lot of resistance, doubts, you get discouraged at times. It's been moving through funky energy, feeling really good and excited one day, and then feeling like, oh my gosh, there's so much to do. What are we getting ourselves into? Is this going to work the next day? But we've been approaching this season of, you know, things sort of hitting that plateau and slowing down a little bit to say, instead of going into like scarcity mode and pulling back, we've really been like, okay, it's time to invest in ourselves. It's time to invest in our business. It's time to fucking go and push through this. So that's sort of the background of like why we wanted to chat about this, is because we've hit a season where things just got a little bit slower and a little bit quieter, and we're ready to, it was nice. We're like, okay, we're rested up, and now we're ready to get into that next level of business, that next level on a personal development, you know, energetically within ourselves and our relationship with each other. And with that, you know, we've noticed people in our lives falling away. We've noticed all sorts of things. And we see this in our community too, when people are first entering their spiritual journey, or they're entering a new level of like self-realization, and it's time to leave a partner, a long-term partner, or even a husband or a wife, or it's time to leave the job and figure out what's next. Like all of these big life changes, and they're so magical and so powerful to make that choice for yourself. But it's not the easy choice. It's the scary, it's the hard, it's the complicated choice. So we've just been so inspired by our community stepping into huge new levels for them. And we've been doing the same. So we wanted to talk about what that's like, and like how sometimes shit has to fall apart. Sometimes it has to feel like you're failing. Sometimes you have to be so pissed off by something that it forces you into change. So when you ask for something, like we ask for the $1 million business, or we ask for the dream soulmate relationship, and then we're surprised that shit is going wrong in mm-hmm. our current relationship, or we're surprised that all of a sudden everything at our jobs is just going crazy, but we asked for it. Mm-hmm. We asked for it, and we're getting pushed towards what we want. But it can feel really fucking startling and really scary to go, oh shit, I didn't know asking for this thing was going to completely tear apart and flip around my life. So we wanted to talk about what that's like and how we've moved through those moments for ourselves.
I love how you phrased all of that. I'm just thinking about this. I don't know where I heard this, but it always stuck with me. When we make a decision and then everything starts to fall apart, mm-hmm. it's not a sign that we've made the wrong decision. It's often, most often, a sign that we've made the right decision. Mm-hmm. I remember a woman I used to nanny for bought this beautiful, big, beautiful house that needed a ton of work. And she knew in her heart it was like the right house and it was the best investment. And I mean, it's a beautiful mm-hmm. home and it was outdated and it was beautiful. And so it was like thing after thing kept coming up. And she's like, I don't know if I made a mistake. And just with complete confidence, I was like, oh no, this is a sign that you made the right choice. Mm-hmm. It's strange how that happens. In our business right now, I'm feeling like the things that are falling away are the things that will keep our business where it has been up until this point. Mm-hmm. And the things that are coming in, like Sadie said, like we're so committed to this number, this level, this idea, require investments, require us to make a move first mm-hmm. and to trust that that net is going to be there. Mm-hmm. I've never walked with more faith in my whole life.
Yeah.
And I've never been so certain of something working out.
Yeah.
Like, and that, and you, when you have that energy and that faith and that trust and that belief, you can move through the growing pains because, yeah, stuff is gonna hit the fan.
Yeah.
Things are gonna fall away. Things are going to suddenly come to light. There's just so, I've been getting all these downloads, all these ahas, and then I'm like exhausted for 2 days or I'm not sleeping because I'm up mm-hmm. thinking. And it just feels like we're in this big transition. And I just want to normalize that growing can be hard and growing can be painful. Mm-hmm. And going through the dark is what leads us to the light a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And as much as we're silliness and laughter and abundance and belief, as much as we're all of that, we're still very human and we're still figuring things out and we're still trying to piece together puzzles and we're still, you know, showing up in bigger ways and we're being a little more polarizing. And I'm noticing it, like before I was so afraid for us to lose a follower.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to hurt or upset anybody.
Right.
But if somebody's like, rolls their eyes and unfollows, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole new level. I didn't feel that way 6 months ago.
Yeah.
No, I wanted everybody to be pleased with us at every moment and every choice we made at all. And now, I don't know, things happen and you just don't get as rattled. So if you can sort of stay in that eye of the storm as you move through whatever you're moving through and do the good old like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's falling apart. That's interesting.
Well, and some of the things that caused me so much pain and so much stress, so much anxiety, were so awful to move through. Now I look back and go, oh my God, if I hadn't had to experience that, I wouldn't have been pushed to where I am. Like, for example, mm-hmm. like having bosses that just drove me up the fucking wall, mm-hmm. like many in my past. And it took a while. The universe had to hand me a handful of terrible bosses. But finally, it was like, okay, like I'm done. Like I can't work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So while you're in the thick of these things, it's okay if it's hard to be grateful for the lesson or grateful for the experience, but just holding that faith and that knowing that it's like, what can I do that's in my power right now to make the best of this, to make the most of this? Where is my intuition directing me? And just trusting that's, I like to think of this as like, and we say this all the time, like when we're sort of in the midst of trying to like figure out a little kink in the way things are working or whatever, where I'll just be like, you know what? Like in a month from now and 3 months from now, we're going to be laughing and go, wasn't that cute? And we were so worried about this that mm-hmm. one time. So that's sort of how I get through a lot of the tough moments of just like, you know what? Very soon, I'm going to be looking back at this shitty situation and I'm going to be going, wow, that was the push I needed to step up and change things in my life. So you don't have to be grateful right now. It might be hard to hold the energy if you're going through something like this, but just more so focusing on holding that energy of someday I'm going to look back on this with kinder eyes and with the attitude of like, this is the push I needed.
I had deja vu as you were saying
that. Uh-huh. Yeah, because I just, I think back to terrible bosses, to things going haywire in my relationships, to, you know, things happening in friendships, and them being the push I needed to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes shit went haywire in a relationship or a friendship where it didn't mean I had to, like, get that person out of my life. It meant that we healed some shit and we got to move forward in a new way that was better for both of us. So mm-hmm. it's not to say when things go haywire, it means they're not meant for your life, but it's time for you to step up and, like, figure it the fuck out, like, address it. My whole life, I was such an avoider. Just push it away, shove it aside, ignore the problems, just sort of keep my head down. I don't want to confront anything. Someone said something hurtful to me, I'm just going to pretend it didn't bother me, whatever it was. And I'm just, like, so fucking done with that now, because it's like, no, I'm not going to put a big fuss up about everything. But if something is a problem,
mm-hmm.
and the universe has been handing me these things to say, Sadie, you say you're this kind of person now, are you? And I've been stepping up and I've been showing up. And it's we have to do that. We have to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, we have to step up in our lives. We can't just, like, let things happen around us.
Mm-hmm.
I was such a person that was like, oh, I just wish I could have my own business, but never, I mean, I would, like, Google stuff and watch YouTube videos, but would never take action, expected something to fall into my lap or someone to say, Sadie, you know what you should do? You should do exactly this and, like, tell me exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. No, you have to take responsibility for the stuff falling apart or the stuff that's hard or the stuff that you don't like in your life. Like, it's our own responsibility to say, what can I do? What can I do in this situation? And maybe it's not quit the job. Maybe that's not attainable for you right now. But you have to find the steps within every single day that it's like, how can I feel good today? How can I take back my power today? How can I claim responsibility for how I'm feeling and where I'm at today? And even if it's the tiniest of things that you can do differently, the ripple effects of those things are going to be absolutely insane.
I'm getting this visual of when we're little, we're more used to doing this. So I'm imagining, like, when you're in first grade, you walk in on the first day, it's a new thing, you get really used to it, you have mm-hmm. your teachers, you have your rules in that classroom, you have your setup, and then at some point, you've soaked up everything you can learn from that phase, and then you move on to second grade, and that's an unknown experience. The first day of school is nerve-wracking. Who are my teachers gonna be? What are the rules of this class? What am I gonna learn? And with every step, there's changes and there's challenges and there's growing pains. Sometimes when we get into adulthood, we might get into a job and stay there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of get out of practice of
adapting.
Yeah. And knowing that with new levels comes discomfort for a little while and mm-hmm. challenges. But think how boring it would be if we never challenged ourselves. Like,
yeah.
as much as this is kind of an odd time right now, and it feels like an in-between time in some ways, I've never had more, like, problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for me, it's exciting,
mm-hmm.
even though it's hard.
Well, it's like, let yourself be excited about the possibility that's on the other side of, like, the struggle or the discomfort mm-hmm. or the growing pains. It's like, that's what keeps us going, is like, oh my gosh, there's so much possibility in front of us because we're putting mm-hmm. these things in place and we're trying different things, and that didn't work, this next one's gonna be the one. Oh, it wasn't, this next one's gonna be the thing that takes off. Like, it there's just limitless possibility in front of you when you take responsibility and take control.
I know. Okay. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think we get so hooked on what's comfortable and what's familiar.
Yeah.
And what's comfortable and familiar is things not changing. But what you deeply want is for things to change. Mm-hmm. So you have to be open to the stuff that comes with the change. You know, there's so much. It's like I can't even break down I'm gonna try, but I can't even break down everything. Like, I feel like the first grader who has been in that classroom now and is like, okay, I'm like, let's get into second grade. Like, I know the letters, I know how to read, and like, you've taught, like, I know everything I know at this phase. I'm ready to move on up. Mm-hmm. And we know so many of our listeners are in like a ready to move to the next level moment, and just giving yourself permission to feel uncomfortable, to be observant of what's going on, to channel like little you going into first grade, second grade, third grade. You know, this is a new year, new big new things. Mm-hmm. I can do it. I remember the first day of middle school, I was terrified.
Oh my gosh.
It was a whole new school. I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. I went from a school with 11 kids in the fifth grade total to a school with like 2,000 kids.
Yeah, the size jump wasn't the same, but I did go from private to public, so it was a big size difference. Not 1,000, though.
I mean, it was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But then
you just had to show up. Figure it out.
And I don't know why, as we get older, we like don't let ourselves show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this week is about showing up. And we are talking the talk, and we're walking the walk, because we can't talk about it if we're not doing it as well. We're not going to like preach at you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've been making, even when it felt scary, we've made big investments.
Recently we made a really big one.
Yeah, even when it seems like, no, we should be focusing on this other thing we ran in circles doing. No, like, let's lean into this mentor. Like, there's all these things that we're doing, mm-hmm. because things have to fall apart a little bit in order to get to the next place. Mm-hmm. So let it fall. Let the tower card.
Yeah, I wrote down tower moments. Dark night of the soul vibes. And you know, this is another thing, is that I think that like we have so much access to each other's lives now, right, with social mm-hmm. media. And of course, it's the vast majority is a highlight reel. Like, even though Juliet and I share so much with you, and we do share times when we're not feeling good or times of struggle, and I've, you know, shared a lot about my journey with grief, like, you're still getting mostly a highlight reel. You're still, mm-hmm. you know, even with the realest people, because, you know, I'm not gonna hop on when I'm not feeling good. Like, I'm going to tell you about it after. But with that, we still compare ourselves, and we see so much that appears to be like overnight success, or it was really easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they got it right the first time and now they're doing such big things. And what we don't see is the overnight successes. They might have been working towards that for a decade. And then overnight, they finally had the blow up on social media, and all of a sudden things are coming in. But there was like a slow wind up to that happening. Like, mm-hmm. I recently saw with one of, you know, Craig's friends in the comedy world, and she, you know, had like a decent sized follower base and had like a career in comedy. But then she went viral, and overnight she's got she's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and she's at this brand new huge level, a huge leap. And that might look like an overnight success, but she's been doing comedy for a decade, and it was a slow build for a long time. So sometimes our brains only want to focus on that like overnight aspect, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had times where I get frustrated, where I'm like, well, we work so hard and we do all of the right things. I feel like there should be more. I feel like we should have a bigger audience. I feel like it seems easier for those people over there, or whatever it is. But then I look and I'm like, wait a minute, like, we've been doing the podcast for less than 2 years.
I know.
And we've had so much success. We have mm-hmm. the most insanely beautiful, wonderful community in the entire universe that is so supportive of us and is so supportive of each other. And the energy is like immaculate. And I'm like, wait, Sadie, like, you've been doing it, and that's mm-hmm. not a long time. And like, so sometimes we don't appreciate what we've done in that process. So as you're moving through your own dark night of the soul or your own spiritual journey or the next, you're getting pushed into the next level, you're in a time in your life where you're just like really uncomfortable and really agitated and you're ready for something different, remember that the people you might compare yourself to, they had a complicated road too. They went through all of the same things. I guarantee everyone that you see that you might compare yourself to has had hella dark night of the souls and frustrations and, mm-hmm. and roadblocks. And so, you know, just keep your eyes on yourself and like the people that are ready to support you and lift you up and believe in what you desire doing with your life, because it's so easy to like just see how easy it is for other people when that's not the case and it's not the mm-hmm. reality. And, you know, I've just found myself at moments on the days where I'm not feeling good, on the days where I'm feeling frustrated and going like, well, why the fuck is it so easy for that person over there when we're, you know, it feels like we're doing the same thing, or maybe it even feels like we're doing a better job at that thing. But it's like, I don't know their journey.
Right. We don't know anything.
We don't know anything. And we're doing a really good job. We really are. And mm-hmm. so are you out there listening. I know you are, because you're listening to this and you're someone who is ready to take control of your life, and you're someone who is ready for something new and something different and mm-hmm. to experience more fulfillment and abundance in your life. So we're here for you, first of all, and we believe in you. And if you ever find yourself frustrated or discouraged on your journey and you're looking around and thinking, if only it could be like that for me, just remember, like, you know, we've had so many frustrations on our own journey, and mm-hmm. so is freaking everyone in this world. Like, we're all freaking human.
I know. I know. And just, I was also just thinking about what the road between where we are now and where we want to be is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It can be fun, it can be exciting, but there's going to be things that we do that take us out of our comfort zone. I mean, I'm sure when Kelly Clarkson went to audition for American Idol, she was probably nervous.
Probably.
Just a guess. You know, anybody that we see, anybody who shows up at auditions over and over, anybody who mm-hmm. says, you know what, this isn't the business I want, it's time to scratch this and start all over.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable, but then they build up the business they truly, truly want. Somebody who's ready to leave a relationship, leave a marriage. To get to what you want, you have to walk the road, or you stay where you are and it's uncomfortable in a different way. Mm-hmm. I would rather be uncomfortable moving towards what I deeply desire, having faith in what I believe in, than uncomfortable staying in the same place.
Yes.
It's a very different type of, there's like a purposeful discomfort and then there's like a gnawing discomfort.
Yeah. So if you're, and this, I think this is important too, if you're like wondering how to know which discomfort is the purposeful one, right? Mm. Like, am I supposed to stick this out? Is there something amazing behind this block in the road? Or is this discomfort mean I'm supposed to dip out and find something else? Like, let yourself follow the journey of both of those decisions and notice where you feel relieved.
Mm.
Because that's often a sign that you picked the right discomfort, where you're like, gosh, this is gonna fucking suck, but I feel so relieved.
Oh my gosh, I have this one memory of I'd gotten this real adult job. They were gonna put me on salary. I was gonna teach. Mm. And my whole family was so excited. My dad told everybody. It was this big, big deal. And it was like, this is everything I wanted. I'm on salary. I get benefits. I get health insurance. You know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing and all mm-hmm. these things. And I remember that I was supposed to go in on the day that I was supposed to meet the kids. And I'm sorry I put this school in this position, but I called them that morning and I was like, I can't meet the children. I can't do this. And I had been training all summer and I just knew. And I knew it was going to be an uncomfortable conversation. I knew it was going to be uncomfortable to tell my family. I knew it was going to be uncomfortable to go have to like figure out some other way to earn money. But I just knew. I just knew. I just knew. And I felt uncomfortable afterwards. But I felt relief. And I remember that night my friend was playing a show, because what this woman had told me was, if you don't 100% want to be a teacher and make this your whole life, this job isn't for you. And that like rung in my head. And I said, I'm sorry, I really took that to heart. Like, I can't give you my 100%. Like, I want to have a music career. I want to be creative. I want to be in entertainment. Like, there's other things I want to do. And it confused and surprised everybody. But that night I went to a show. My friend was playing in Hollywood, and I, you know, didn't go to work that day. And I sat and I put an order of French fries on a credit card. And I was like, whatever, I'll pay it off later. And I just ate these French fries, and I was uncomfortable, and I was so happy. Mm-hmm. I was so happy. And I'll never forget that. And there was another time that same week, I then went to make a music video at a friend's house. And I was eating, I was in her bathtub eating Hershey's chocolate. And I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to do next, and I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. And like, you'll feel it, you'll know. And that's sort of where we're at right now, where it's like, we're building this business, we're building this vision, we're building this community. We have wildly big visions for Goddess Hangs, for BizWitch, that I know are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's non-negotiable.
Truly.
And we're so happy. And it's uncomfortable in the meantime, because it's not quite there yet, right? So it's like, are you happy in your discomfort? Are you relieved in your discomfort? Are you happy in your growing pains? Does your gut know? This is another great time to tap into the intuition. Does your gut know this was the right decision? Mm-hmm. Or is your ego keeping you in a place that you really don't want to be in anymore?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I've had conversations with like friends and family around like the argument of like, you know, what we're doing, especially at the beginning, but even still now, it's like a little crazy. It's unpredictable. You don't know exactly mm-hmm. what your income is going to be every month. And you really have to, you know, make it happen for yourself. There's no one coming to save you. It's us. We are the bosses. Like, nobody's mm-hmm. going to come and say, do this so that our business does this happens. You know, it's like, we have to be that person. And, you know, so many people will tell me that they prioritize the safety of the paycheck, even if they don't like the job. And that can absolutely be true for some people. But it's just not me. I'm not going to prioritize the security of the same exact paycheck every other week or whatever. Like, I did that for a decade. I tried to work so many different places, and they were even sometimes jobs that like I kind of liked. Like, I liked visual merchandising. It was creative. It was sort of a solo thing. I got to work by myself a lot and just make displays mm-hmm. and whatever. But still, I felt empty. I felt like something was missing. And I had jobs where I made really good money, and I'm like, I wouldn't trade any of those. I wouldn't, you know, one, we maybe, you know, there were times when I made less than what I made at those jobs throughout this journey, but the possibility is completely open-ended. We can make any amount of income we want, and mm-hmm. we've seen and we've grown, and it's increased, and it's better than we thought at this point in time. And it's just like, I'll take the risk. I'll take the uncertainty mm-hmm. any day to have that just possibility in front of me. Possibility is always going to be my priority over security or safety in that sense.
I know. I feel the same way. I am a little bit of, I don't know what the word is, but I am fully aware of the fact that like any day could be my last day. I'm probably too aware of that. Mm-hmm. Not in a paranoid way, but like I get to look around right now, and we get to do what we do for a living. I get to make songs for a living. I get to be creative for a living. I don't have to clock in anywhere. Like, I am going to get away with this for as long as I can.
Yeah.
I don't care how uncomfortable it is.
Starkly aware of that too, especially, I mean, with my mom, you know, my mom passed away when she was 46 years old or 45. And I'm like, that's in 14 years. What, you know, like when I'm 45, and you hear so many stories of people ask you know, do you have any regrets to somebody on their deathbed? And it's always just, I wish I would have let myself enjoy life more. I wish I would have just... And that was kind of what my mom said, too. She said, I just wish I would have worried less about how much I was saving and preparing for the future, and I would have just spent my money a little bit more and worried less about that and just enjoyed what I had in that moment. So, you know, life is short, and I'm going to spend every moment. If tomorrow I got the news that I had a week left, I would say... I of course would go through the stages of grief, and I would be scared and so sad that I didn't get to continue on this journey, but I would also get to look around at where I'm at right now and how I've been spending my time and say, I really gave it my all and I don't have a regret. I'm getting emotional.
I know, I am too, a little.
Because, you know, it's funny, like, I'm just like my mom in so many ways. She was always trying different things. She was always trying to start these side hustles, and my dad was so patient with her and like, yeah, you know, invest in that thing now, go ahead and start that. And she had the entrepreneurial spirit too, and we always dreamed about, oh, someday we're gonna open some sort of shop together and all of those things. And then God bless my dad with me too. I'm like, Dad, I'm quitting, I'm figuring something out. And he was like, I don't know, but okay. And I'm doing it. Like, we're doing it. And that's bizarre and so unbelievable and so fucking cool, because that felt so impossible for so long. And it's something I knew in my heart of hearts I always wanted, but I told myself I wasn't the kind of person that got to do that for so long for some reason. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have the resources, you know, whatever the excuses were, like, you got to understand, we didn't start with anything. We didn't start with mom and dad giving us $1 million to start a business or paying our bills or while we figured it out or anything. Like, we really just figured it the fuck out. And I'm so proud of us, because
I am too.
It has been fucking hard a lot of the times, especially in the beginning. It was so fucking hard and, you know, and so scary. And so many times I went, what am I doing? I have to go get a job. Like, this is, you know, like... So there's, I mean, even to this day, you know, you have the dark night of the mini dark night of the soul where I'm like, what the fuck am I even doing? Like, I got to go get a job. And I'm just like, no, Sadie, you're doing it. You have a job. You're successful. Like, you're, you know.
You have a job.
You have those moments where you feel like you're drowning in all of the things you're trying to create. And maybe you get discouraged at times, but it's always worth it every single time to choose yourself and choose what you want. And... just trust yourself, trust your ability, trust in your, like, fucking wherewithal to figure it out. Do gift yourself that, to put that energy towards yourself. You deserve it. And just know that if you are someone out there, because we know, again, like, we're close to everyone in our community. We know there's a lot of you out there that are going through shit at work, tough bosses, relationship stuff, and just know that these are the things that are giving you the momentum to create the life that you want. Sometimes you gotta burn it all down so you can build it up the way you want it. And we're so proud of you, and we're so proud of us.
Yeah. I'm a little emotional, because it's like the stakes are high, because it's like, if I fail, whatever, I fail, but I am unwilling to let you fail. Like, unwilling. I'm unwilling. What I'm not, it's like, what am I gonna, I don't know. I've never felt like a fire like that in me before. Like, that's sort of the beauty of a partnership. It's like, you really are sort of responsible for each other in some ways.
Yeah, I feel that too.
And
keeps me going.
And I just, it's like, sometimes I just, we take turns being very motivated and being very certain, and then just having, you know, a moment where we are in a growing moment or a, you know, emotional moment. And I just, this needs to be said on air, like, this is happening, this is working.
Yes, it is.
1000%. This ship is not going down.
Never.
As long as I live, I will not allow it. So, you know, I'm so happy that we've been able to dive into this today. it's a big deal. Growing pains are real. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling growing pains, it means you're leveling up. It means you're going after the things you actually want. Growing pains are a good problem.
Yes.
It's a great problem. We've had some other problems in our lives that were not good problems. This is a fantastic problem to be pushed from our highest selves, from our desires, from spirit, whatever it is, whatever is pushing us along that wants more out of us. Mm-hmm. And really, it's just ours. We want more out of ourselves. Yeah. We want to give more. We want to share more. We want to connect more. And we know you want more. And Sadie said it earlier, there's no need to feel guilty or bad or shame about wanting what you want, about wanting to grow and wanting to change and wanting the thing you desire and walking that path, even though it may be a little rocky, to get there.
Yeah. Shift from like, why me, to like, why not me, right? Mm-hmm. Just like, why can't I be a spiritual pop star?
That's what we're here to do.
Why not?
Spiritual pop stars.
Why not us?
Why not? Why can't you have the relationship of your dreams? Mm-hmm. Well, like, why not you? Why is it too late? Why is it too difficult? Why can't you start your business or your podcast at this age, at this time? Mm-hmm. What's the actual reason? And you'll find that there's kind of no good one.
Nope. Yeah. And a lot of times we hold on to like a like secondary benefit to those things that aren't good for us. Mm-hmm. Like what are you holding on to? What's the secondary benefit? Like, all of my friends and I, we get together for happy hour to like complain about our jobs. And what if mm-hmm. I quit my job and create my dream business? Am I gonna like lose that connection with that friend group? That's like a secondary benefit of like the attention you get and the connection you find in that friend group. So look around at those things that you're creating excuses for and really like think about like, what's that secondary benefit and is it worth it? Like, I guarantee you, like if in that example, if you no longer have your work to complain about, you get to show up to that same happy hour and be like, you know what, everyone, I cracked the code, I'm figuring it out. Guess what? You could probably have a ripple effect in that group and make big change. So realize that what maybe feels like something that will alienate you or make you disconnected, you could actually be the one that starts a ripple effect in the lives of the people you love. I see it happening in my life. I think Juliet sees it in her life mm-hmm. too. Our friends have seen us and gone, oh shit, they're really doing it. They're really figuring themselves out. You know what? I want more for my life too. And if they can do it, then I guess I could do it too. That because mm-hmm. I didn't think that someone I knew could do something like that, right. But there they are. So let yourself be that friend or that family member that says, I'm going to pave the way and I'm going to show everybody what's possible. And I'm going to, you know, maybe at first they'll be doubting and they'll be judging and maybe even be hating. But one day down the line, they're going to go, so how did you do that? Mm-hmm. How did you figure that out?
When you're walking down the aisle to your actual soulmate, or mm-hmm. when you're celebrating a huge year in your business, or you buy the dream home you've always wanted, or whatever, anything that you deeply desire.
Yeah, lead the way. Show the people you love what's possible for them too, because I know I want all of my friends to have, you know, like when you have a friend that's in a shitty relationship and they're the only one that doesn't see it, or the job, and you're like, I know you're so much more capable than that. Ask for the raise, ask for the promotion, get a different job, whatever it is. We see other people's potential mm-hmm. and what they deserve so easily. So like, let yourself see that for yourself and follow through on the advice that you would give a best friend in your situation.
And know that it is safe to grow. It is safe to have some growing pains. We're all
we believe in you.
We really do. And if you need a place to land and you want to talk about these things, we have a fantastic, loving, welcoming, supportive, amazing Patreon community. We've had, I think, 8 new members in the past 7 to 10 days.
August has been a month. I don't think we've gotten this many new people in a single month since like we first started, and people were really joining quickly.
Yeah, y'all are rolling in.
We have like 10 new people, I think. It's been crazy. It's been so fun.
Welcome to all of our new members. We're already so excited to get to know you better. And we have areas in that Discord about seeking support and shadow work and things that you might be going through, as well as places to share your wins and silly things and exciting things and witchy things and spiritual things and astrological things. We have it all under one really beautiful roof. So if you are feeling some growing pains, if you are either ready to make a change or in the middle of making a change, mm-hmm. we have the community for you. We have just the best people ever that will really, you know, hold space for you and mm-hmm. stand by you through it.
If you're, you know, waiting for one of our higher level programs to open back up, we've gotten a few inquiries about Quantum Goddess and Activate Your Magic. And or if you're like, you're really called to those, but you're not quite in alignment with that investment yet, get in this Patreon for $5 a month. The people in this community have been making such incredible transformation leaps and bounds from this community and just being in this energy. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, not quite ready to do that higher investment with us, like, you gotta get into this community. It's really beautiful, the things that the energy shifts quickly in, you know, all of our besties' lives. It's so cool to witness. Mm-hmm. And if you are, we've had quite a few inquiries on Quantum Goddess lately. So we are going to start building the waitlist for that. We don't have a set date quite yet. We're still with our current round right now, which we're so inspired by.
Oh my gosh.
Such big, beautiful things that we can't wait to share more about. But we are going to put a link in our bio so you can make sure you're on that waitlist. Mm-hmm. Because when it does open up, there are limited spots because we want to be able to be really connected with you. And you get a little Quantum Goddess workbook freebie that's really powerful. So we'll have that link in the show notes because we know we've been getting a lot of inquiries lately.
I know. All of a sudden, people are like, when is Quantum Goddess opening back up?
Well, and I wanted to...
People are banging at my door. No, nobody's...
I wanted to point out, though, that, you know, we have had this summer where I feel like we're like... where our business is reaching like the teenage years, mm-hmm. where we're going through the difficulties of puberty.
Yes.
And we're going through hormonal changes.
Popping those zits.
And we, you know, it's been an emotional roller coaster, but we're like growing up. Mm-hmm. But we've made some major investments. We've been doing a lot of work and we've seen very suddenly, you know, we're shifting our energy. We're showing up differently. And all of a sudden, we have tons of people joining the Patreon and people asking about our programs. And things do happen fast. Like, when you're in the middle of it, you're like, ah, it's not happening fast enough. And then all of a sudden, and even today, we're like, things aren't happening fast enough. Even though we're like, I'm like, Sadie, Juliet, like, things are happening so fast around you right now. It's
That's amazing. Our new affirmation. Things are moving quickly in every moment moving quickly.
But lo and behold, we have 2,000 new followers on TikTok in a month. We have all these new Patreon members. We're growing on Instagram. We're growing on YouTube. Like, we're blowing up right now. And we're like, ugh, growing pains. So things do happen fast.
But it's because we're growing.
When you show up. Yeah. Where we're trying to figure this out. But things happen fast when you show up for yourself. When you're, you know, committed to figuring it the fuck out. It's all shifting. It's all happening. And so just know that it does happen fast, faster than you think when you commit mm-hmm. to what's for you, you know, for you, what you want for your greatest good. So
hang out in the fun discomfort.
Yes.
Not the boring discomfort.
Yes.
Come join us in fun discomfort, uncomfortable magic.
Yeah. So big fun things happening in our world. We're so happy mm-hmm. you're a part of it. And yeah, make sure you're following us on TikTok, on Instagram, at Goddess Hanks, at bizwitch.inc for all of our business babes. If you've ever thought about maybe I'd like to be an entrepreneur, you need to follow. Or if you have a side hustle, we're all about helping mystics and witches and spiritual babes make more money, create and scale their dream businesses. So we're so mm-hmm. excited to welcome you in there.
We teach you everything we learn as we learn it. And we've learned a lot and we're still learning so much.
And we created a free training called Your $10,000 Day. And it's our top 5 secrets to big cash days, even with small audiences. And we've already sent a lot of these free trainings out, and we've gotten so much feedback that how incredible it is. So the link is in the show notes for that as well. Make sure you check it out. For our new babes that are new to witchcraft, we have a Witchcraft for Beginners 17-page guidebook in the show notes, totally free for you. It's got spells and our simple but very powerful ways to bring magic into your everyday life. It's got a whole manifestation 101 guide in there. It's really juicy, so make sure you check that out.
We have our beautiful
quantum goddess,
deck. Holographic deck.
I forgot to bring my open one, so that's okay. Trust us, it's holographic.
It's holographic. It's beautiful.
On the inside.
Go to our website. We have 2 beautiful decks for sale. One, our original deck, is in very limited supply. So if you've been thinking about it, now's the time. And I think that's perfect for today. I've really enjoyed opening up, letting you all in on sort of where we're at, what we're going through, what we're growing through. Yes. And we hope that this sort of like normalized and validated things that you might be feeling. We're so grateful to have you in our community and in our world. You can always dive in deeper in Patreon. We are waiting for you there. We really pop the confetti every time somebody comes in. You will be blown away.
And we're back to doing IG Live readings. If you were with us in the beginning, we used to come on every week and do live card readings together on Instagram Live for you, the audience. So set your alarms every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and truly set your alarms and get there as soon as we hop on live so you can get in that queue of readings. This past week, we spent two hours. I don't know how many readings we did, but it was
a lot. And there were still so many people we couldn't get to.
So
sorry.
Set your alarms maybe even 5 or 10 minutes early so you can hop in and get in right away. We'll be there every Tuesday. Can't promise it's going to be 2 hours every time. I was like on the couch the rest of the night. I was so tired, but
it'll be at
so
least
fun.
60 minutes.
We'll be there for at least an hour. It's just so fun hanging out with you and connecting with you. So we'll see you on Instagram. And we love you.
We love you.
We believe in you.
We believe in you.
We'll see you next week.
Okay, see you next week.